Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
I am an assortment of untapped potential. Is this the world's way of saying I have nothing? 10 years from now, will I still have potential? Will my life speak for itself, or will I fail? Listening to the words spoken to each of us, it seems we all possess enormous amount of potential. Has potential become the new backhanded compliment? Has it developed into painful words designed to shame? Can potential be measured? Can I have more than you? Could the vice versa be true? Who designates potential? If it were up to me, I would exchange the word potential with the word capability. It suits more. But capability suggests I'm able to do something of worth or value in our society, and we can't have that. Remarking on untapped potential is highly degrading. You crush me, even before I begin. And that is a poem called Untapped Potential by Michael N. Newman. And that is a bit of a stretch for today's topic, but we want to talk about potential, specifically potential talent. So, as an HR professional, I'm sure one of the challenges you have is how do we find good talent? More importantly, how do we find great talent? That's one half of the challenge. But there's another challenge out there, and that is talented people that can't seem to be found, so there's no place for them to use their experience. Our guest today is Ashley Connell. Now, Ashley is the CEO and founder of Prowess Project. Now, I wasn't quite sure what to expect when I first spoke to her, but after talking to her, I thought, this is cool. Not only cool, this is awesome. It's awesome if you are someone who's been out of the workforce for a while and you want to get back in, but you don't want to go in straight in. You want to just dip your toes in the water. Maybe start slow. But more importantly, if you're a company that's looking for talent, looking for experience, and yet not looking for someone in there to be full-time, we have got the perfect match for you. Ashley's going to talk about the numbers. She's going to talk about the data. Most importantly, she's going to talk about a really, really great solution. So I'm going to quit talking about her. Let's talk to her. Let's meet our special guest, Ashley Connell. Ashley Connell, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
We had a great conversation. I think I was driving back from West Virginia, and I was very intrigued by what you do. And so I knew I had to have you on the podcast. Your services are going to be so valuable for our audience, which is the overworked, overwhelmed, overstressed, and underappreciated HR professional. And I've got a ton of questions for you. But before we get into Prowess Project, I was hoping you could take a little time and tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. So excited to share Prowess Project with your audience. And just a bit about me, Ashley Connell, CEO and founder of Prowess Project. And my background is in marketing, always in tech startups. And so back when I started, I'm not going to give the numbers away, but quite a few years ago, I was the first marketing intern for a startup. So they called me the guinea pig, and they would just hand me a project. I would go figure it out, sink or swim. And then as soon as we figured it out, I handed it over to someone else to create the processes and operations. And so that was truly the beginning of my marketing career. From there, they moved me over to London, England to open up their office over in the UK, which it was a fantastic experience, really opened up my eyes to all the possibilities. And I felt so much like an entrepreneur, and I had this team on my back that I was looking after and helping succeed. Came back over to the US, worked at a few more tech companies until I opened up a marketing consultancy with two other people. And this is kind of where the Prowess Project story gets started. But one of our partners, his wife was helping us with some of our operations. I started to get to know her, and her story was she was a mom of two, has two degrees, knows bookkeeping, graphic design, the whole shebang. She then she took off time to raise children, tried to get back into the workforce, and couldn't. And their Prowess Project was born. So that's a bit about me.
Wow. Well, I want to dig into the Prowess Project story, but you know, so before we sign on, we're talking and Ashley says, oh yeah, I just got off a trip. I just went to a friend's wedding in Spain. You know, you talk about it like I will go to the Walmart to, you know, get shoelaces. So yeah, you're actually very well traveled and have a really cool background. But let's get back to this. So is this why Prowess Project exists? Is it because this experience that you had with this person trying to break back in?
So it was kind of twofold. Being that I have put my career first for a lot of my life, even as a super green entry-level person, I was very anxious about what having a family would do to my career. And I was working so hard at it. How was I going to balance? When was the right time? And I realized that this was taking up a ton of, it was just a really large mental load in my brain and a lot of anxiety. And I started talking to other women about that, and they were feeling the exact same way. They hadn't had children yet, but had been very career focused and were worried about it. So then met this woman, Leah, who I was referring to before, who again, super accomplished, took up time, tried to get back into the workforce for 2 years, was just getting callbacks for free internships, right? And it dawned on me that, wow, my fear is very, very real. Started doing some digging, and according to Harvard Business Review, if a woman is out of the workforce for just 3 years, she loses 37% of her total compensation power for the rest of her life.
Jeez, and that's just 3 years, right?
Right, exactly. And most women take off 5 to 7. So you can imagine that percentage increases drastically.
Well, this is in the US, right?
That's correct.
And it just seems to me, we're a country that really does penalize. I've got some customers up in Canada. And like, if you work for the government, you probably know this, you get a whole year off when you have a baby. And some of them time it just right. So like toward the end, they get pregnant with a second one. So you could conceivably be off work for 3 years raising a couple of kids. And then when you get back, there's no penalty.
Exactly.
And yet here in the US, 37%. That's tough.
It truly is. And that's a mix between a couple of things, right? People seeing a gap in your resume or a lot of unconscious bias. Oh, she's a mom. She's not going to give it her all. Oh, she has to leave right at 4:30 to pick up her kids. She can't stay late. Oh, is she going to be a good culture fit because we like going to happy hours on Friday? Whatever that is, it's all those unconscious bias wrapped up in one, and you get your 37% plus.
Jeez. Yeah. So that's the problem. And then along comes Prowess Project. So tell me how this solves the problem.
Yes. So we're trying to solve two problems. That first problem, what I was just describing, is gender equality in the workforce. That is our number one North Star, if you will. We are starting with this idea of the mommy penalty, which is what I just described, where you lose 37% of your compensation power if you leave the workforce for 3 years. Sadly, about 43% of women do leave the workforce. So that is a huge untapped pool of people who want to get back or who have left and want to get back in. And so at Prowess Project, we give those women an opportunity to take baby steps back into work, because it has been found that the only way to shorten that 37% of compensation power loss is to get women contracting earlier.
Well, so the talent pool we're talking about here, this is the left the workforce, wants to get back in. How are you getting them in here? What's your process look like?
Great question. And so, like you said, it is women who take a pause in their career for anything. We started thinking that it was going to be a bunch of moms. We also found women who took off time to take care of a parent or someone who wants to change careers in general. And so what we do is we have a 16-hour certification that these women go through. And of course, it teaches the latest technology and project management skills, because we focus a lot on operations. But the number one barrier to entry for these women who took a pause is confidence. And so we spend a lot of time within the cohort of people that we bring in through the certification, talking about what they want to do, talking about what they're good at, talking about what they're not good at, what they don't want to do, what drains their energy, and really lay it out very clearly so that you, by the end, have a very good idea of what you want to go do next. Since you are taking time away from your family to work, what is that perfect, super empowering thing for you? In addition to, now you have a network of people to help you and a community of people, of like-minded women who are ready to be there, not only being a cheerleader, but help you in those situations where, heaven forbid, someone uses an acronym that you're not familiar with, you can easily ask someone in our huge community who have probably been there before.
So where does this cohort meet? Is this done virtually? How does this work?
Great question. So yes, when we were building Prowess Project, we started talking to a bunch of women who were in this position and who wanted to get back into the workforce. And they were saying, we want to get back in, but a 9-to-5 at the office, 40 hours a week, just doesn't work for us. It would be much better if I had something that was remote and something that was project-based. So that's where we got started. So this certification, like I said, it's about 16 hours. 4 of those hours are virtual meetings, and that's with your cohort. Then the other 12 hours are a mix between project-based homework, as well as meeting up with your cohort to talk through some of the prompts, some of the scenarios, and really get to know each other so that you have this trust and there's this no woman left behind mentality between everyone.
Well, that's good. So you're getting a wide range of people in this. You've already mentioned you've got people who've taken time away to raise their own children, to take care of parents. So it sounds like you could be, I mean, obviously you would have to be a woman, but it's a wide range, right? So do you get cohorts with maybe people in their 50s, in their 30s? How does that typically work?
We absolutely do. And one thing I did want to say, it's not just women. So we are, like I said before, our North Star is gender equality. I don't care male, women, or male, female, neither. As long as you care about gender equality, as long as you care about diversity, we'll welcome you with open arms. So there's that. As far as the range of people, yes, you have to have at least 5 years of experience in the workforce. And right now, you must have a 4-year college degree. We hope to expand that in the future. But those are kind of the requirements now. And we have people who are as early as, what, 25 to 60, 65.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, in terms of, you're not only talking about the gender, you're talking about the age equality piece too.
Absolutely. And we hear that a lot, this whole idea of ageism and how it...
Well, you know, it's funny, actually. I never thought, I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, naive. I never really thought it existed. I just figured, you know, it's just for those really old people. And then thinking about myself, I thought, you know, the longer I do what I do, everybody's younger than me. What do they think? You know? So I think it creeps up on you.
Oh, absolutely. And I hear that time and time again. So we really hope to be a resource for those people.
Well, it sounds like you're doing great things for the individuals. And so if you're listening to this podcast now, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm already employed. I don't have this problem. But let's take a look at it from the other angle. What does Prowess Project help businesses with?
Absolutely. So Prowess Project, the way that we wanted to build this for companies is make them ultra productive. What I have found in my experience is a lot of times when you're hiring, you hire the same person for the same position and they leave. You hire the same person for the same position, not even realizing it. And we found that if you make your team more diverse, your revenue or your teamwork shoots up exponentially. So our theory was, if you could get women who did have 5, 10, most of our talent pool are ex-executives who just need to take a step back. So they have 20 some odd years of experience and want to get their hands dirty again. You are getting overqualified candidates that you can't get anywhere else for a much lower cost. And so that's what we're trying to prove. And then to make it easier on the companies, we're developing a proprietary algorithm that not only looks at the skill and the experience of the candidate and making sure that it fits the role, but also personality and communication compatibility as well. And to give you an example of that, I was just on a call not too long ago, and I was introducing a candidate to her hiring manager. And based on going through our process and getting the matches, she knew that her new manager was a dominant personality. And so she knew when he would rattle off things to do or that she needed to get done, that he wasn't angry. That's just how his brain thought. And she took a step back and she was like, wow, had I not known that up front? Think about all of the hours that I would have agonized over, what did that two-word email mean? Is he mad? Am I not living up to what he wants me to do? So it really helps level the playing field and set expectations from the very beginning, because we do so much due diligence on, like I said, personality compatibility and communication styles.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Well, so I'm thinking about this. You mentioned something a moment ago about you get overqualified candidates. You just made that sound like that's what you want. And yet this, and maybe it's the excuse, well, I would hire you, but you're overqualified for this job. I think what people mean is I don't want to have to pay you and have you around full time because you're just going to leave as soon as something better comes along. You're making the case that you want somebody who's overqualified, who just wants to come in and do that one thing and not spend all day in the office. Did I get that correct?
You nailed that. And you're exactly right. And a lot of the, let's call them accomplished or seasoned, whatever word we want to use, when I'm talking to them about what they want to do next, what I hear over and over and over again was, Ashley, I was in 40 hours of meetings a week because of the level that I was at. I got into this role because I love operations. I love creating processes. I love getting into a business and figuring out their entire management structure. And yet here I am just delegating. I want to be that person who is, like I said, getting their hands dirty, working in the software, creating those processes again. And I want to be able to do it on a much more flexible basis. And so we allow them to do that. And then the companies are beside themselves excited about the quality of people that they get, not just from, hey, the skills and the expertise check out, but wow, y'all took it a step further and are looking at making sure we just click as humans and we're working with people we like.
Yeah. It's while you're saying this, I'm thinking about, I don't know if you saw the movie, The Intern with Robert De Niro.
You know, I saw parts of it on a plane. Surprising. I know.
Yeah. When you were just off to, buy a new dress, right? In Italy or somewhere,
I wish,
right?
My life was like that. It's much less glamorous, sadly.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is, you know, the premise of the movie is Robert De Niro comes on this company as a startup as an intern, and yet he used to be an executive, but he just didn't want that stress. He just wanted to do a simple job. And what he offered was all those years of experience to a very young CEO. And it sounds like Prowess Project is like the intern, but in real life. I mean, I think about that, my mind's running wild. If I could have like a sales executive who had all these skills, but I can't afford that, I could at least get some of that expertise at a lower rate, and that person's doing what they love to do.
It's so true.
So I don't see the loss in this anywhere. This sounds like a really cool thing.
Well, I love hearing that, and I may quote you on it.
Yes, please.
But yes, I mean, that was the idea behind the whole premise, right? How do we make this a win-win? And candidly, I saw this work out so well for me at that marketing consultancy that I created. I had this woman who basically could run our entire business while I was the marketing expert and was hired out for, you know, marketing expertise. And we got her for a fraction of the cost because she needed to work remotely.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was such a win-win. And that was the light bulb, right? That was like, wow, not only is this great for companies, it's empowering for these women. And you know what? We're going to make a dent in this gender equality problem that is running rampant at the moment.
That's great. Well, I guess, so if I'm a company right now and I'm going to contract with you and get some of these folks in, will that give me an upper hand aside from just the cost piece?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting because we've done a lot of digging on why caretakers. A lot of times it's why moms, but what we found, it's bigger than that. Our audience are, like I said, people who have taken care of parents, aunts, uncles, or children. And Bright Horizons did a study not too long ago, and they found that of the American working people, 89% felt that working mothers were better leaders.
Interesting.
And the top thing that they appreciated of these mothers were how calm they were in crisis. And think about it, you know, hey, you have just been, or they've spent 5 years managing a household of toddlers. Like, yeah, I think that they can handle some adults figuring out the software or what have you in a very cool, calm, collected way that's most importantly collaborative and everyone feels understood, heard, and we have a good outcome at the end.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm thinking Wednesday I was in Maryland and I got to spend the morning with my daughter and my granddaughters who are 3 and 1.4 and you know, it's chaotic. And she's kind of like that, you know, if you ever see at the circus, the guy that spins the plates on the end of a stick and he's running around. But she did that without looking like her hair was on fire. So yeah, imagine that coming into your workplace when there's a crisis. Oh, they're not going to flip out on you like somebody like
I don't know. Yes. I mean, and we've heard that from our clients as well. It's like, wow. I mean, she must be, what did they say? A duck above water and underneath they're paddling like crazy, but you would never know.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a skill we would need. Well, let's think about hiring managers now. So obviously if I'm going to bring somebody in, I don't want to hire a dumb person, right? I got to make sure they know what they're doing. Is that good enough though?
Personally, I think that, okay, sure. If they're dumb, that's one thing. I know that that's probably not the best word to use, but yes, that's one thing. If they don't, just because they don't have this exact skill that you're looking for, I think that's easy to teach. At the very end of the day, the people that I would think that you're trying to look for are people who have integrity, people who can read the room, people who can manage crisis, people who understand their own communication styles and can pick up on others to ensure that you can get a project done. To me, that's much more valuable than someone who has done the task for the past 10 years and can do it in his or her sleep, because at the end of the day, you're working with people and skills can be taught.
Yeah, I think the skills can be, but you know, my fear is you get somebody in who just isn't a good fit, a good blend. And so I guess now, when you are screening your folks, it sounds like you are taking them through a process that helps them identify their, I don't know what, maybe we'll use the word emotional intelligence or something like that. So basically what I'm getting then is somebody who's not only skilled, but also has some of those other skills,
absolutely.
Right?
And you're exactly right. While we are screening for the women who join the talent pool, the top thing that we look at is emotional intelligence or EQ. We've found now that I think it's 70% of Fortune 500 companies are carving out budget for EQ training because it's been such a problem and it's been overlooked for such a long time. And the candidates that we bring to the table not only have that in spades, are also just naturally because of their years of caretaking, but also we're looking at that from the matching standpoint too. So yes, they have all the tools in their toolbox, but we're also tailoring the right fit for you and your team and looking at the team as a whole. What is that team dynamics? What is missing and what type of person is the best fit?
So do you have some sort of process that matches that up? Maybe it's a secret. I don't know. But could you tell us kind of how that works?
So it is a bit of a secret. That's our secret sauce.
Okay.
We are building out an algorithm that helps to do that. The background of it is my business partner, our chief development officer, Leah Steinkirk. She is phenomenal and has 2 degrees in counseling and psychology. So she looks at this from a, how do I make a good pair? How do I get people who cover each other's strengths? And so basically what we have done is kind of downloaded her brain in all of her expertise and put it into this technology so we can scale it and bring it to as many people as possible.
Good. So this isn't just winging it. You guys have a pretty good process to make this work, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Tried and true.
Good. All right. So let's go back. I am a company owner. I am trying to figure out how to, at least get a foothold in what, at the timing of this podcast, is truly a war for talent. There's far more job openings than we have candidates to fill. I mean, that's very different from the recession 12 years ago. So what are some benefits for companies to do this kind of work with you?
So absolutely. I was just reading, and I feel like I'm stats queen today, but I live and breathe all this diversity and inclusion. So I believe in the US, the unemployment rate is like 3.5 at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so you're exactly right. We've seen this huge wave of recruiters and hiring managers going after untapped talent pools, and many of them need to be remote. And so you see that the remote employees, or just let's call it unconventional employees that don't look the exact same, don't do the 9-to-5, they're typically much more efficient because they have a set amount of time that they have to get the job done. And so you get a much better quality, or again, what we have seen, get much better quality of work. And the candidates that you're getting are so appreciative of this opportunity. Because if you just look at the mommy penalty, for example, the moms who are trying to get back into the workforce, like I was saying before, their alternative options are free internships or starting at the very bottom. And that's not right. And so by hiring these people, you're giving them empowering jobs where they can use their brain and their experience.
Yeah, I like that. Well, you've convinced me. because again, I see all aspects of this. We do a lot of work in the HR communities, and I see the stress the recruiters are under now to get these numbers. And so this seems like a win for everyone. So if someone is listening to this show today, what's the best way they can get in touch with you, not only as a company, but maybe an individual who says, I can't handle this anymore? Is there a way I could do the parts of HR that I love without having to be sitting in this place and having people lined up outside my door with a billion and one complaints? How do my listeners get a hold of you, Ashley?
Absolutely. And so our website is www.prowessproject.com. We are at Prowess Project in all social channels. And I just want to say, I hear you when you're talking about the HR professional who has a line of 50 outside their door. And I want to thank you for putting on this podcast and hearing them. And that's what we're trying to do too, is, hey, what are the biggest issues that you're going through? And what is the pushback? So as much as we'd love you to come to us, please come to us with feedback as well. And we want to better understand what your problems are so we can tailor not only our talent pool, but our algorithm and our messaging so that we can make the HR professionals' lives so much easier.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You need to come to a conference and just see the exhaustion in their eyes. It's just a tough job. But you know what? They're professionals. They get in there and get it done. And so whatever we can do to help them, we are all about that.
Love it.
Well, Ashley, listen, I am grateful for you spending time with us this afternoon. Great information. Again, make sure you go to Ashley's website, prowessproject.com, and connect with her. And Ashley, thank you so much. Please keep us posted on how business is going for you, and just let us know what we can do to help you become more successful as well.
Oh, absolutely. And again, thank you so much. This has been so fun and rewarding to be a part of this. So again, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.